On Tech News Today, they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but not today. We've got a live report from the National Association of Broadcasters show. Plus, it turns out the HAL 9000 2001 A Space Odyssey was right. Our biggest security problems can only be attributable to human error. And IBM wants to use artificial intelligence to improve healthcare. Say hello to Dr. Watson. It's all coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Tuesday, April 14th, 2015. This episode is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code TNT when you check out. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news of the journalists who report it. My name is Mike Elgin. I am your host. Our co-anchor today is After Nine's content czar, Joe Panettiere. Joe, how the heck are you?
I'm doing awesome, Mike. How have you been?
I've been great. You know, today is a special day, sort of, especially for Jeffrey Needles, because his patron saint, Jenny of the JennyCam, is now celebrating the 19th year of the launch of the JennyCam. Now, for those of you kids out there who don't remember the JennyCam and who weren't around on the internet 19 years ago, Jennifer K. Ringley launched JennyCam.org, which displayed black and white pictures taken randomly inside her house with a webcam. At her peak, she got 4 million hits a day. This was not performance. This was mostly just real life. Whatever was happening in her bedroom or whatever was happening in her house, those pictures went online. It was quite a scandal. And nowadays, everybody's doing it on Meerkat.
Yeah. You know, and it was a little bit like NBC Nightly News. It was mostly real.
Mostly real, but it had a much larger audience, 4 million a day. Now, at some point, she went pro, and she opened up a PayPal store so that if you wanted additional content, you'd had to pay for it. But she shut it down on December 31st, 2003, which is way later than I thought it shut down. And she blamed PayPal's anti-nudity policy because, of course, she was naked all the time on this thing. That was part of the sales pitch she had for the pay, you know, to upgrade to the pay version. But there it is, man. 19-year anniversary of the JennyCam. Wow. Unbelievable. Well, speaking of people who love to be on camera, the National Association of Broadcasters show is taking place this week in Las Vegas. It's closed to the public, but expected to bring in 100,000 professionals in the media and entertainment industries. TWIT's own Father Robert Ballesteir is there and joins us now. Welcome to you, Padre.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back on TNT after that that incident that we shall not name.
Yeah, let's not even bring it up. So Padre, what's happening at the show? I know this is it's a wide area, you know, lots of stuff happening, but can you sort of zero in on what you've seen that impressed you the most so far?
Right. Well, you know, NAB, it's the National Association of Broadcasters, and it's really it's a potpourri of content. I mean, when you think about what NAB is about, it's all about content. Being on either side of the content equation, you've got the latest in 4K, 5K, 8K TVs, but you've also got all the tools that you need to create that content. Everything from the 4 to 8K cameras to the ham shacks to the antennas. You know, basically, if it's a broadcast field, you're going to find it here at NAB. There have been some trends that we've been finding as been walking through the halls. I'd say probably one of the biggest has to be this the maturation of the 4K scene. I mean, in past NABs, it's always been, well, this is a better 1080p screen. This is a better 4K screen. This is a better 5K, 8K screen. But now we're getting to the point where we're seeing 4K and 8 and 5K screens that are just becoming better. They're becoming more mature. One of the big trends there is the introduction of HDR, that's high dynamic range, where you've got these screens that have these ultra black blacks, these super rich colors, and it's a more complete package. We've also seen the integration of laser projectors. They were kind of a thing 2 years ago. They disappeared for a while. But we've seen Christie and Panasonic both release these super high intensity projectors. I mean, when you buy a projector, you're hoping to get maybe 5, 10, maybe 20,000 lumen. These units run between 60 and 100,000 lumen, ultra, ultra bright, ultra, ultra sharp. So, I mean, that's what you get on the content viewing side of the show.
Hey, Padre, what about drones? You seen any drone activity over the show or in the show?
Oh, yeah. In fact, right behind me, you're going to see we're at the 3DR booth. They're testing out their Solo right now. The Solo is a successor to the Iris Plus. Now, think of it as a flying Lego platform. They've created an all-in-one flight machine. It's ready out of the box. You can fly it full automatic or full manual or anywhere in between. It has incredible modes. Like, they have this one they call an orbit where you can set a target and the quadcopter will actually circle around you to get that really cool 360 view. They've got something that they call the line, which is basically a GPS waypoints that you can set on the controller, and it will go back and forth, and you can rotate it. I mean, think about using that for sporting events. They've also got a selfie mode where it will just follow you around and take your picture. They've equipped this with an experimental LiDAR. It's going to be available in June, which means that even if you don't have a GPS signal, it can do things like person avoidance. It won't bump into people or the buildings or the trees. Now, 3DR is just one of the vendors here at the show. We've got DJI. We've got Unique. I mean, essentially, every vendor is coming out with something that is drone, quadcopter, multicopter related. Maybe not a quadcopter itself, but the equipment to broadcast from a quadcopter or the equipment to stabilize a camera from a quadcopter. So, I mean, this has essentially become the drone show.
I basically need that 360-degree video from a drone, you know, for selfies, of course. So, Padre, in addition to lots and lots of K, 5K, 8K, et cetera, in addition to high dynamic range video, in addition to drone technology, what other trends are striking you at the show for the industry?
One trend that I did not expect to see, but it's actually big here, is 360 immersive viewing. There's a company here called 360 Hero, and they've been working with a lot of different manufacturers, not just drone manufacturers, but, you know, camera ball manufacturers. And the idea is you take a bunch of GoPros or a bunch of any kind of cameras, and you can equip them with these housing, either underwater housing or above ground housings, that will then be stitched together. Now, what you do with that stitched together amalgam a video is you make something that's unique for, say, an Oculus Rift, or YouTube actually just opened up a new part of the service that will allow you to upload 360 video so that the content viewer can choose what angle to point the camera at. It is still a little bit niche, but it's a niche that's growing, and it's actually a niche that's starting to catch on. You see more and more manufacturers here in the traditional side of the show that are starting to introduce cameras that have super wide viewing angles in anticipation of this sort of content production, of immersive 360 viewing.
Wonderful. Father Robert Ballesare, thank you so much for that report. You can find Father Robert Ballesare on TWIT's own This Week in Enterprise Tech, Know How, Coding 101, and of course, Padre's Corner. We put him in the corner when he's bad, so that's a weekly show. Thank you so much, Father Robert Ballesare.
Thanks, Mike.
More news in a sec, but first, let's talk about shaving. And Harry's, one of our sponsors today, our sponsor today of this show. Harry's is going to change your shaving life because you no longer have to tolerate inferior blades and high prices, because they make superior blades with their own factory in Germany, one of the very best blade factories in the world. And then they sell you those blades for about half the cost of conventional razor blades. They've broken the sort of through this sort of monopolistic situation that has been going on in the razor and razor blade industry for so long. They engineer those blades for sharpness and high performance, and they will ship them free to your front door and guarantee your satisfaction. If you get a razor with a handle that looks and feels great, three razor blades and a foaming gel, you're going to be super, super happy with shaving every single day. And a starter Truman set is an amazing deal. You get all of it for $15. This is a good-looking razor with a blade on the end of it and two spare blades, plus a foaming gel that is just amazing. It smells great. It works great. You absolutely going to love this foaming gel. I like it a lot. This is actually my favorite of their many products that they have. They also have aftershave moisturizers and other products all around shaving. You got to go to Harry's. And to get $5 off your first purchase, just use the code TNT at checkout. That's Harry's. I'm going to spell that for you. It's Harrys.com. Make sure you enter the code TNT at checkout to get $5 off. And we thank Harry's for their support of Tech News Today. Well, new hack attacks and security breaches happen all the time, of course, but two detailed reports from Verizon and Symantec say that they all have something in common: user error. Joseph Menn is a reporter for Reuters and joins us now. Welcome to you, Joseph.
Hi, good to be back.
Now, what did these reports conclude about the role of users in most cyber attacks?
Well, it's most cyber attacks wouldn't happen were it not for the fact that either a corporate user of software has messed up, didn't read the manual, did something wrong, or an individual employee did something wrong. Most commonly, click on a bad link in an email. I mean, the bad guys don't have to reinvent the wheel here because phishing works.
Yeah, Joseph, tell us more about phishing. I mean, this has been around for quote-unquote more than a decade now, hasn't it, in terms of this type of attack? How come, have we made any progress against it, or is it still the single biggest thing that hooks the person?
It is the single biggest thing. In addition to it being used for garden variety crime, more than two-thirds of cyber espionage cases, you know, the ones that, you know, keep the Fortune 500 up at night, more than two-thirds rely on phishing. And the scary stat from the Verizon report is you only have to send an email to 10 people in order to have a 90% shot of getting in. And once you're in, you can do all kinds of stuff, but that's the front door. Yeah, there are training programs. There are companies that do nothing other than test employees and raise awareness. But clearly, either they don't work or not enough people are doing it because people are still falling for emails.
Symantec looked at state-sponsored attacks, which, of course, are on the rise and becoming ever more sophisticated all the time. What did they report about state-sponsored attacks?
Well, let's see. They said that it's not up that dramatically versus last year. Last year was a really big year for that. It continues to go up, yes, and there are more and more players. It's been around for a while. So some of this is just we're learning more about it rather than that there's been an explosion. I think that's the way it put it. I think the big fear really is critical infrastructure, because there are a number of folks are reporting an increase in attacks on power plants and water utilities and on and on. And that's where it gets scary. That's where human lives sooner or later are going to be lost.
Hey, Joseph, are we also seeing an evolution of the encryption market? What I mean by that is, you know, we've all tracked ransomware where the hacker encrypts the data and then demands some sort of bounty to unencrypt it. But are the hackers now just encrypting the data and not even asking for a ransom?
Yeah, that was one of the weirdest things. This came out in the Symantec report and in some experts that Symantec convened to talk about it yesterday with the press. There are people there's always been this kind of fluid thing between organized crime and spies. They're, you know, use some of the same tools, sometimes the same resources, same botnets. But this is one of the latest pieces of that is that this crypto ransomware is being used by we don't really know who to encrypt your stuff and then not ask for money. And it's unclear what's going on there. Maybe they're just gathering information and they want to sell it to somebody later. Could be government, could be crime, could be activists, whoever might be in the market for information about critical infrastructure, for example. Or maybe they're going to come up with a more personalized extortion demand aimed at the owner of the data. We don't know yet.
Now, finally, Joseph, why are there so many attacks these days on the healthcare industry? What is it about this industry that is attracting so many hack attacks?
I think that's a really good question, and the answer is interesting. It's a combination of things. Mark Goodman, who wrote a book called Future Crimes, which I can recommend, pretty good analysis of this sort of thing, said that healthcare-related fraud and identity theft winds up costing somebody about $20,000 on average, whereas garden variety identity theft only costs about $1,500 on average. So there's a clear crime motive. If you steal somebody's health data, you can't just get a new credit card number. It's much more complicated than that. You can't change your health history. So that can be flipped to somebody who can use it to order services and not pay for them. There could be multiple players involved so that you could have a whole fraudulent medical practice that is billing the government or insurers for things that never happened. So that's a big reason. On the other hand, other governments would use it because it's a goldmine of very personal information, and they could use that to try to put pressure on people they want to spy for them inside another country. So it could be they find out that you've got medical debts that are out of control, and so you need money. Could be that you're gravely ill and need more money than you otherwise would. Or it could be, you know, maybe you've got some disease that they could threaten to reveal to your partner. They can do all kinds of things if they have that sort of information on you. So it's probably a collection of things. And then finally, there's like the word gets out about a given sector. You know, people figure out how to crack into one company in a sector. And then most of the other companies in the sector have similar architectures and you can attack them. And it's kind of this feeding frenzy. It's like a bunch of lions taking down a zebra. And some of those might be working for governments, and some of them might be working for criminal groups, and some of them might be freelance criminals. But, you know, there is also overlapping message boards, so word starts spreading about a given weakness, and other people see that they can make a move as well.
Lots of detail in these reports, but I think the biggest takeaway is the fact that HAL 9000 from Space Odyssey, 2001 Space Odyssey, was right. It can only be attributable to human error. I recall the quote being. Joseph Menn is at Reuters.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Joseph Menn with two N's at the end. Thanks for joining us today, Joseph.
Thanks, Mike.
Nokia and the French telecom giant Alcatel-Lucent are in what the companies are calling the advanced stages of a merger deal. USA Today said the new company would compete against the likes of Ericsson, Huawei, and even Cisco. One possible barrier could be the French government, which has opposed foreign firms buying French tech companies. French President François Hollande met today with the company's CEOs. No terms have been announced, but experts say the combined company would be worth about $40 billion U.S. dollars. Joe Panettiere, this would be quite a merger and quite a shift in the European tech scene.
Quite a shift, but I tell you, the big winner here is probably back on U.S. soil, and that would be Cisco Systems. Cisco winds up smiling anytime a big IT merger occurs in the networking or telecom space, because basically when the big companies merge, it slows them down and they're trying to integrate things both on the culture side and the technology side. And Cisco winds up swooping in and taking customers every time. This happened last time Alcatel and Lucent got together. Now, Mike, the other interesting thing here is a few weeks ago on the show, you mentioned that Cisco is making heavy investments in France. Now we know why. Cisco is right there in the back door, ready to take customers.
And again, the big story, as far as I'm concerned, because it's a part of a trend of stories we've been covering in recent weeks and months, is the French government's blatant protectionism of French technology companies. They blocked General Electric's attempt to buy Alstom SA, and they blocked Yahoo's and Hong Kong Telecom Group's PCCW from buying Daily Motion, the video hosting site. They waited until a French company came along to buy that company. And while the French government is biased against U.S. and Asian companies, they're biased in favor, to a certain extent, of European companies. And that's the only reason why they would ever agree to this, because Nokia, of course, is a European company. They're not French, but they're European. You got to take what you can get if you're a protectionist nationalist government like the French government is in terms of its relationship with French technology companies. Quite a story, and we'll see if this goes through. My guess is I'm going to guess that it will go through. They can't block everything, and I think this is as good as they're going to get. Well, IBM is sending its Jeopardy-winning AI system Watson to medical school. IBM is also partnering with some companies and acquiring others to use Watson as a cloud service for the healthcare industry. Specifically, IBM is partnering with Apple, Johnson & Johnson, and Medtronic. And the company is buying two startups, Exploris, which has a 50 million patient database, and Fitel, which makes patient care management software. This is a really interesting thing. They have, you know, in all of the materials around this, I guess you would call it an initiative, a massive initiative, they're really talking about transforming the way that healthcare works, making all healthcare highly personalized, and also using big data and artificial intelligence to figure out what's going on with people's health conditions, and not just individuals' health conditions, but also find trends of what works, what doesn't in terms of healthcare. What are your thoughts on this, Joe?
You know, it's an interesting time. We're now roughly, I guess it's 6 or 8 months since IBM and Apple announced their first partnership or most recent partnership when it comes to mobile. And now we're finally seeing the fruit of the effort. And it's not just about mobile enterprise apps. It's all about healthcare in this instance. And Apple is actually helping out with that IBM Watson Cloud initiative. And to your point, Mike, it's all about big data and big data gathering and then analysis. And as you recall on this program a few weeks ago, we mentioned ResearchKit and HealthKit and all the other software development kits that Apple's working on. Those are now going to be integrated with IBM's Watson effort. And the other piece to watch here is a lot of the news for anyone who's interested in health tech or healthcare and IT. The event to watch is HIMSS. It's an annual healthcare event. It's going on this week in Chicago. That's where a lot of this news is coming out of. And IBM has already acquired two companies this week as part of that event. And we'll see more news coming out of that event.
Yeah, really interesting. I'd love to go to that show one of these days. It sounds really fascinating. Of course, the IT healthcare world is exploding right now, and for good reason. And I love to see what comes out of this, especially in this partnership between IBM and Apple, which, of course, is one of the big stories of recent months. You know, longtime enemies, now frenemies or friends. And it's all about mobile and now about healthcare, because, of course, Apple with the iPhone and most importantly, the Apple Watch are able to gather data related to healthcare. Well, we reported in the past on Google's upcoming wireless service. Now, a new report from Android Police may provide new details about the service, which is apparently called Project Fi. If the report is accurate, Google's mobile phone service will charge for data by the gigabyte. You choose how much data to buy before the month starts, and then you get a refund or pay for overages at the end of the month. And if you do pay for overages, the cost of each additional gigabyte is identical to the core plan that you started from the beginning. It doesn't go up or down based on how much you do. It's very straightforward. And Joe Panettiere, clearly what Google's trying to do here is shame the industry into simplifying their data plans.
Simplify the data plan, but also adopt more of a cloud approach. You know, for anyone who has used infrastructure as a service, for instance, it's pay as you go. You pay a flat monthly fee. And then if you are over, you only pay an incremental amount, not some horrendous surcharge or penalties, et cetera. Google's really applying the cloud model here to the mobile market.
And they're trying to make it simple to know what's going on with your data, because this information came from an app that has apparently been designed to function with Google's MVNO. It's called Tyco, this app, and they found the references that we talked about in this news inside the app. So, you know, this is part of apparently the model they're going after. It's an app-based control. You buy the stuff on an app, and then it just happens. It's all very transparent. And, of course, this would be a huge challenge to carriers who currently gouge users by confusing them with complicated plans and hidden charges. This is the reverse of that, and I think that's the whole point of this entire exercise, I would guess. Well, I got some follow-ups for you. HarperCollins and Amazon have made a deal. If you recall, relations between the two companies reached an all-time low last year after protracted disagreement about the price of ebooks, pretty much the same disagreement that Amazon has with all publishers. And in hack attack news, the Google search site in Malaysia got hacked today, sort of. Visitors trying to Google something in that country were greeted by a page saying, "Google Malaysia hacked by TigerMate Bangladeshi hacker." Who knows what that means? The attack was actually a DNS redirect on the .my, the Malaysian domain, which has happened before, but it's affected other sites. This is the first time they've gone after the Google search site. Turkish hackers attacked the Vatican website last night with a DDoS attack, taking it offline. The attack was reportedly a retaliation for a reference made by Pope Francis to the killing of 1.5 million Armenians at the end of the Ottoman Empire a century ago. He referred to it as a genocide, which the Turkish government and Turkish nationalists strongly object to. In mergers and acquisitions news, Microsoft announced today that it has acquired DataXen Software, which makes mobile-centric business intelligence software. Joe, have you heard of this company? I haven't heard of DataXen before.
No, I haven't. But it's part of a bigger trend in terms of most of the major cloud providers, whether it's Microsoft or Amazon or Google, are reaching out into the mobile market and connecting the dots between mobile and big data. Just about a week ago, Amazon made a move, or actually, I shouldn't say Amazon made the move a week ago. It was reported a week ago that Amazon has acquired a somewhat similar company for gathering and analyzing machine data. Apparently that deal happened last year, but has only come to light now. So you've got Amazon, you got Microsoft, and we mentioned IBM with Watson Cloud. Everyone is trying to gather and manage data and then apply analytics to it, particularly on the mobile side.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in news you can lose, IKEA is now doing weddings, but with a difference. The weddings take place over the internet. A new IKEA service called Wedding Online lets couples choose backgrounds that represent the dream locations where their virtual wedding will take place. Then they invite family and friends, and the whole thing happens through webcams. In other words, it's an IKEA wedding you put together yourself. Let's watch the video, which, by the way, is entirely in Swedish. So they're showing the dream locations that your wedding will not be taking place in.
För dig som vill ha ett bröllop på en spektakulär plats och samtidigt ha råd att bjuda alla dina vänner.
And now they're showing how you invite people. You just fill out a list online and off go the invitations. Then they put the heads of everybody involved in the wedding on bodies that have been provided by IKEA. Yeah.
It's like total recall, isn't it?
Gustav Pels. Tager du.
Everybody's crying.
Monica Lindholm.
And instead of looking at each other, they're looking at their webcams as they recite their vows. They're saying woo in Swedish. And there it is. Wow. What are you going to do? What's next? A honeymoon site online. Wow, that's really kind of interesting and kind of a bold move. They're moving beyond Swedish meatballs and do-it-yourself furniture to weddings. Kind of a strange move. Well, I didn't see that one coming. Well, our TNT fan of the day is Eric Hammond in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who posted this picture of himself watching TNT at work. And there he is. Once again, I don't think a single TNT viewer or listener has only one monitor. Nice headphones, too. How do you watch or listen to TNT? Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and post it on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook and use the hashtag HowIWatchTNT so we can find it. Joe Panettiere, what the heck is happening at After Nines?
Well, I'll tell you, the hot topic of the day, as we've been hinting here on the show, is Hadoop and big data and all this big data analysis going on out in the cloud. If you check out afternines.com/CEO tonight at 9:01 p.m. Eastern, we actually have our latest podcast. It's episode 31, and we interview Qbol's CEO. Qbol offers Hadoop as a service, so basically big data on demand out in the cloud, and that runs on Amazon or Google or Microsoft. And it really is hot stuff, and it's quite interesting how big data is now going mainstream rather than just reserved for the data scientists out there.
Absolutely. Can't wait to listen to all of that. Joe Panettiere, thank you so much for co-anchoring today. We'll see you next time.
Mike, thanks for having me. Take care.
All right. You can subscribe to Tech News Today on your favorite podcasting app, or you can choose another way to subscribe at twit.tv/TNT. And if you'd like to help us grow our audience even faster, here's how you can do it. Post a link to TNT on the social media site of your choice and tag 3 friends along with your recommendation to subscribe. Share the joy. You can watch us live every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC at live.twit.tv or on the app or browser plugin of your choice. If you're ever in the San Francisco Bay Area, come on in and watch us as part of our studio audience. Follow us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV. And if you're a technology news fan, and I know you are, come on and hang out with us in our Google Plus community. Just search Google Plus for Tech News Today and you will find us. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Elgin. And let us know what you think. Send us an email to tnt@twit.tv or call our phone number, which is 260-TNT-SHOW. Don't miss Tech News Tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific every single weeknight. And that is the Tech News Today. This show was produced by Jason Cleanthes and edited by Anthony Nielsen. My name is Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow.